Uh-oh.
Testing, 1, 2.
Uh-oh.
Check.
Uh-oh.
1, 2. This is Mr. Nobody. Episode 23. Can you hear the helicopters in the sky?
Uh-oh.
That's right, son. Uh-oh. Play that little tune I taught you, the one my teacher taught me. Yeah. 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 That's my window. It's kind of like a metaphor, but it's actually an actual window. As well as being a metaphor.
Uh-oh.
I look out this window and I project onto the world
right outside
my values, my lack of values, my biases, my judgments, my interpretations, my desires.
Uh-oh.
I recently observed a couple that ducked into this little downstairs street level area of the abandoned building
across from my window.
Across from my window. Smoke what appeared to be crack, and I watched them put down the little barricade that was there, look up and down the street. He was like, come on, it's okay. She was a little bit more nervous.
Uh-oh.
Yes, son. Uh-oh.
She had the crack.
They put it together.
By the way, the composer of this charming little shoru, which means to cry, is anonymous.
Another Mr. Nobody.
Keep playing, son.
Now, back at the crack smoking.
I noticed that he took a couple of good hard hits, because the smoke from crack was
voluminous.
It's a lot of smoke. I had never seen anyone smoke crack before, except myself.
Uh-oh.
And then it was the lady's turn to hit the pipe.
She was much more reserved.
And there was something sad about her. A few moments later, when they were super high, they stopped talking. They just sort of meandered on their own in different little corners of this 10-foot area. They were worlds apart. Universes apart.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no shit, son.
Uh-oh. I felt kind of weird watching this from my window. It was like an opera, bizarre ballet, but I couldn't take my eyes off it. Two people.
Acting out a drama.
I guess like 10 minutes into it, they got it together enough to leave the little area they were in. And to the guy's credit, he put the little barricade back up. I'm looking at it right now, which I thought was cool, and said hi to some people as they were passing. Yep. I watched them with fascination.
This couple.
It started out nervously approaching this little barricade, and then taking the barricade down and using this neglected little area to smoke crack. When they got back out on the street, I could tell that they were not bad people. I don't know why I say that, because there was something sad about her. She wasn't happy with the condition of her life.
It seemed.
Or at least I'm projecting that through my window onto her. She was sullen
and nervous
and very quiet. And the guy was dressed in some really cool shit. He had this, like, I don't know, cowboy hat on. And he was nice to people as they walked by. And he put the barricade up as if to say, thank you, little area, for providing a safe zone for me to get high on crack. I had a different feeling
with these guys than I did
with the people that were partying on the stoop 13 hours a couple of nights ago.
Uh-oh.
And left all their fucking trash. As if to say, fuck you, you pick it up.
Which is what the old lady who lived in that shoe had to do.
This was different. This was personal. They were, how can I put it? They were respectful. As they meandered down the street, away from my biased gaze,
my window.
They became more and more distant. He went on ahead, and she walked alone. And there was some metaphor in that as well, that they came together for the purpose of smoking the crack, but it separated them. It made them alienated from each other in the end. Yep. Mission accomplished. Nothing else to connect about. And yet, I know not. I can only project. I have no real knowledge of what's inside anybody, and neither do you.
You got company.
Yeah, son, we got company. I know not. Triggered by things that seem unfair, like leaving your garbage for somebody else to pick up. It may seem trivial, but is it? It could be a perfect representation of how you treat yourself and the whole world, which is not two different things, it's one thing. Kind of the illusion of the individual.
Uh-oh.
That we're all out here on our own, deserving what little ya-ya we can get for ourselves from somebody else before they get it. It's probably an attribute from our animal past, which is exactly that way. I'm reminded of Freud's theory of alienation.
Uh-oh.
And it's something that reverberates in my mind. Wait, mind has reverb? Now I'm just being self-contemptuous.
We got company.
And essentially, it goes like this. That we're anxious and we suffer because of the feeling of alienation. And here's the kicker. The closer you are to somebody, the more acute that suffering is. Because it's one thing to be alienated from the grocery guy or someone you don't know at all, a stranger that you just see.
Uh-oh.
But it's another thing to really know that the person that you are the closest with, or you believe yourself to be the most intimately acquainted with, has the same amount of alienation that exists between you and that stranger that you don't even know. And the reason for that is that no one really knows what's inside somebody else's thoughts. This recording appears to be my thoughts.
Uh-oh.
And I allow myself a lot of excavatory existence. I allow myself to dig, to cut open ground that I may never have opened up, but for the jolt of my son's death, my particular
tragedy.
But that sense that you don't even know what your mother really thinks about you.
Uh-oh.
Or what your lover really thinks about you. Or even about something else or someone else.
Uh-oh.
No shit, son. Uh-oh. And that is true. Look at the person right next to you. You could ask them for pure honesty, and they can manipulate you. They can make you believe that they are telling you their true thoughts and feelings, but you will never know. I don't know if Freud developed this idea in a vacuum, because some hundreds of years before him, Calvinist thinking or Reformed Christianity had this dilemma inside of it, particularly among certain sects of Protestantism, that you didn't really know if God chose you to go to heaven. You really can't be sure. Whereas with Catholics, if you do the right things that they tell you to do, right? The business office tells you to do, you're in, like Flynn, you're cool. But not so with the Protestants. So you could be a moral, decent, kind, whatever person your whole life, God-fearing, whatever the fuck that means. And you could not know. You had to live your life without any certainty of your ultimate soul's whatever exit strategy. No exit strategy possible. Pretty stressful. I'm going to pause right here and do some clapping for the healthcare workers who are fucking amazing. And in this time where we're getting fed a lot of slogans about how to feel and what to think, and things are getting very reduced into inaccurate binaries, there is no question that these people are fucking heroes. They're heroic what they're doing, because they're putting their lives at risk. You know what? Clap along. Has gone down a bit from weeks past. It's like we've forgotten there's a pandemic, but it's still with us. Sometimes I blow this instrument, which my wife thinks is a bit, I don't know, making fun of the whole thing, but it's loud. Let's take a listen. Shut the whole street down. It's a little weird. Again, my window.
We got company.
So you don't know what's in anybody's head, and then it goes deeper. If you don't know what's in anybody else's true heart, mind, thought, how can you really be sure what's in yours? How can I be sure what's in mine? What do I really think? It's clear to me that I think some things that aren't so cool, and I couch those things in more palatable terms. Is that being dishonest when one does that? That's interesting. That's revealing of myself. I have thoughts that I feel would alienate you. I saw two little birds mating today, right in the tree, and they were kind of hidden by some leaves, and the little girl bird was like shaking her tail feathers and wings. I was like, what's going on in there? And then the male came down on top of her, and they did this thing like 10 times. So that's going on. I wonder if birds try to manage each other's impressions of them. There are so many lines that we cross. What do those birds think of each other? Do they know each other? What's in each other's bird brains? They were certainly communicating to each other a very clear group of signals. They both had natural instinctual urges, and they were also private. They found this little covered area. Are we the same? That we think that we know what we're doing? That we think that our actions are reasonable? They may just be post hoc rationalizations. Just ways in which we've explained them into a narrative that doesn't embarrass us because we have no real control. We have no knowledge even of ourselves. Not really. We're on automatic. And perhaps part of our automatic is a module that says, I know what I'm doing.
Uh-oh.
That's right, son.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I made a decision when I started these collages to not come at this story, these revelations, with any forethought. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to say next. What I do try to do is allow myself to come through me. You know what I mean? To get out of my own way and let even my darker or more alienating biases reveal themselves so that I'm not trying to manage your impression of me.
Here we go.
Deleted. Message deleted. Message. 37. Deleted. Message. 38. From. Deleted. Message. 39. From. Deleted. Message. Deleted. 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 Deleted.
Nothing could be more. Graphic than this idea of alienation.
Deleted.
Than the experience I
deleted.
I'm still having
deleted message 63 deleted
with my son
for saved messages press 1.
I still feel like he's
deleted messages 2. Saved messages
affecting me
message deleted
as strongly as he was when he was
message deleted. Message deleted.
A living.
Deleted.
Existing.
Deleted.
Part of the cake.
Deleted.
Part of the cake.
Deleted.
Uh-oh.
Deleted.
Now he lives in my computer.
Deleted.
My bio computer.
Deleted. Deleted.
And only in a way.
Deleted.
In which I remember him.
For deleted messages, press 2.
Or that I have...
Uh-oh, we got company.
To review your deleted messages, press 1.
My own biased little...
Press 1.
Narrative.
Erase 2. Your deleted messages will be permanently deleted. Delete your messages. To delete, press 1. To delete only your voice messages, press 1. To delete all messages, press 2.
I have my own slogans. My own... reductions.
Messages deleted. You have no new messages. To send a message, press 2.
Of what happened? I mentioned Freud, I should mention Jung.
Uh-oh.
And I'll say two things about Carl Jung. Once when I was pretty young, sorry for the pun, I was reading The Undiscovered Self, a book Jung wrote 3 years before he died. It's a little thin book. And I was in a noodle shop. It was on Toide Toide and Toide, which was not my regular hangout. Not a restaurant I really knew of. And when I saw it across the street, it was like the angels sang.
It was a cold day.
And inside there
was hot soup.
My mind is already eating that soup, that
fishball soup
with thick noodles and vegetables and hot oil.
Uh-oh.
That's right, son.
Get the fuck out of my way. That soup and I are already
one.
It was like
those birds.
I was on automatic. I entered the restaurant, and the gruff, no-nonsense, middle-aged Chinese waitress crammed me at this little table next to these two 50-ish-year-old Chinese guys. I detected that she could tell from my bulging eyes what I was there to do. And bear in mind, I'm not just saying Chinese for no reason. Practically everybody in this restaurant is Chinese, and they were not speaking English. And the table, when I say put me next to, I mean like right next to them, bent arm's length.
That's how close they were.
The kind of extreme pleasure that I was anticipating comes at a cost. And I was lucky to get a seat, and it was only because I was alone that one was available, right next to these two 50-ish-year-old Chinese guys. I ordered my soup, and I got my book
out of my
bag,
opened it up,
and started reading about the individualized self, what that meant, according to Jung. And the second I do that, one of the Chinese guys yells to the other guy, Jung! 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 I thought they were putting me on, but they were just having an argument, and that word meant something else to them, their window. Almost touching in this restaurant, a universe apart. Alienation at its finest.
Delete it.
I thought that was funny. Although no one except you knows about it.
We got company.
Yes, I guess we do. And the other thing that I could say about Jung is that he said that the closer you get to a specific thing, the more untrue your generalization is about it. So if I say, for example, all drug dealers are murderers, and I'm willing to allow that they're maybe murdering in the second degree or third degree of the law.
But who's counting?
That they're not premeditating specific murders, but they are willingly and knowingly and willfully acting in ways that are reckless and indifferent to human life and causing death. Like the drug dealer who sold my son what he probably thought was heroin and was fentanyl from which he died from. So look at that guy. Is he a murderer? My generalization is all drug dealers are murderers. And then as we narrow down to just that one guy, has my generalization lost its truth? And the police knew who this person was, because when they got the phone number out of my son's phone, they shared with me that they were familiar with that phone number. That one drug pusher. Is he a murderer? Just that one guy. And I don't know who he is. If I did know who he was, I would have killed him. And not just for my son's death, but for all the people that he killed that weekend. That's one of those terrible thoughts. Those dark and alienating thoughts that I hope you forgive me for. But I feel that way. And I felt that way then. But I would have had to enter his neighborhood, find him precisely, have a gun, and stick it in his face without getting killed myself. I wonder if the drug dealer that helped kill my son has a father. who loves him as much as I love my son. If killing him would have deprived his father of his hopes and dreams and imagined future, or his mother or his sister, I never thought about that. Was this drug dealer a good person who was educating himself and helping his community? I think not. I think not. But I also know not. I just have my little window, the death of my son. And their collaboration in a very bullshit game. Alienated from each other. I'm sure he didn't care about my son. My son probably didn't care about him. It was just a transaction. Universes apart, but overlapping and driven by mechanics. Instinct and by hunger, not the kind of hunger I had for the soup, or maybe it was,
I don't know,
devoid of reason. There's only one of you, hunger.
As always, goodbye, son.
This is Mr. Nobody out.
Uh-oh. Thank you.
tell me why. I know you're gonna. There's only